The first reading is taken from Colossians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 6, and can be found on page 1183 of the Pew Bibles. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcised of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Gina. Thank you, David. Good morning, welcome. If I've not said hi already, lovely to see you this morning. Please keep your Bibles open at page 1183. I'm going to pray. Think of Paul's words last week. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Father, as we come to your word now, please, from your word, would you proclaim Christ to us? Please, would you admonish and teach us with all wisdom? Please, as a result of our time together this morning, would we be presented perfect on the last day? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're sitting here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, where is it that you want to grow as a Christian? What is the area in which you think, I want to grow as a Christian? What is it about your day-to-day Christian experience that you think, actually, I'd like to change that? I'd like to grow in that. Maybe you might be sitting there thinking, you think, well, I kind of feel like I've reached a plateau in the Christian life. I've kind of leveled off. And I feel a little bit like I'm going through the motions. And so actually I want to grow in a passion for Christ, to be rekindled in my love for him and my desire to live for him. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, actually, I'd like to feel less guilty. I'd like to feel less guilty. Perhaps there's one particular sin or a past that is there every day. Every morning when you wake up, every evening when you go to sleep. And you can't shake that feeling of guilt. And so you think, well, actually, I'd like to feel a little less guilty. That's how I'd like to grow. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I want to make progress with one particular sin, one particular area, one particular habit that I just can't seem to shake. Maybe, I don't know, could be anything, couldn't it? Habitual complaining, gossip, anger, greed. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'd like to live more wholeheartedly for God in a particular area. Whether it be family, whether it be our work. Or maybe you're just sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know what? I do have a hunger to know more. And that is wonderful. And I want to keep on feeling that. I want to keep on looking to grow. Someone said that to me recently. I just want to know more of Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. And so what is it for you as you sit there? Where do you think, well, I'd like to grow in this area as a follower of Jesus? And once you have in that in mind, how will you grow as a follower of Christ? How? Because that's what these verses that we've got, that Gina read a moment ago, in Colossians 2, they show us how we are to grow, how we are to continue following Jesus. And it's not revolutionary, in one sense. It's quite ordinary. Paul says in verse 6 and 7, verses we already had read, stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. That's not flashy, is it? It doesn't sound super spiritual. But actually it is. Now listen to what Paul tells the Colossians. Let me read it again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Now Paul is saying to these Colossian Christians, and God is saying to us, the way on in the Christian life is the same as the way in. You came to Jesus, stick with Jesus. They've received Jesus as Lord. That the whole first part of the letter to Colossians is about receiving Jesus as Lord. Jesus, who is the Lord over creation, the Lord over church, the Lord over salvation, the one in whom are hidden all the riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They've received that Jesus. What are they to do? They're to continue with that Jesus. Continue to live in Christ. Continue to live with Jesus as Lord. That is what the rest of the letter is about. You've received Jesus as Lord. Continue with Jesus. Stick with Jesus, says Paul. That is how you are to grow. And what will that look like? What does that look like? Well, he gives us four pictures in verse 7. Four pictures all about growing whilst at the same time remaining. Growing whilst sticking with Jesus. Continue to live in him, says Paul, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And the first picture is a picture of a tree. A tree grows not by moving away from its soil, but by remaining in the soil and putting deeper roots down. And so Paul is saying, you will continue with Jesus as you put deeper roots down into all that he is and all that he has done for you, as you are nourished by him. The second picture is a picture of a building rooted and built up in him. A building is built up by remaining on the foundations. We are to grow up by continuing to grow on the foundations that have been laid, the gospel foundations. Third picture is the picture of the law court being strengthened, becoming more sure, being strengthened in an argument, in a body of knowledge, not moving on to a different argument or body of knowledge. Paul says, be strengthened, continue by being strengthened in the faith as you were taught, confirmed in the gospel message that they have received and we have received, more sure of Christ, more sure of all that he has promised us. And then that final picture, a picture of a cup, not a new one, but the same cup being filled until it overflows with thankfulness. Thankfulness for all we have in Christ. Do you see, Paul is saying the way you grow is by sticking with Jesus. The way in is the same as the way on in the Christian faith. It's as we grow to know more of Jesus, which will change our lives. Towards the end of The Last Battle, which is the final book of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia series, the children arrive at what the book describes as a picture of heaven. And they are constantly called on into this land by the refrain, further up and further in, further up and further in. And they're called into this land by a character saying, further up and further in. And Lewis is actually making the point that we will spend all eternity discovering the riches of Christ. But it is also a good summary of the Christian life now. Further up and further in to Christ and all that he's done. Or Paul might say, further down and further in. Further down into the riches of Christ. Further on into all that we have in him. That is the Christian life in a nutshell. Stick with Jesus. The way into the Christian life, Jesus, is the way on in the Christian life. And the way that we stick with Jesus, the way we grow, the way we become rooted and built up, strengthened and overflowing with thankfulness, well, that is simply through what we call the ordinary means of grace. God's church, his words, the gift of prayer. It's not flashy. It's not new. In one sense, it's pretty ordinary. But it is the way we continue to go further in to Christ. How will we appreciate more of all that we have in Christ? How will we grow to live a life more like Christ's? How will we be encouraged and strengthened, becoming more sure of all that we have in Christ and with Christ? How will we overflow with thankfulness? Well, it's as we do this, as we meet week by week around his word and around the Lord's table, as you read God's word on your own throughout the week, as you pray, as God's Spirit works through those things, as we read books that help us engage with God's word. That is how we stick with Jesus. That is how we grow, as we see more of the riches that we have in Christ. Why not pray that for yourselves this week? Pray a prayer like, Heavenly Father, I want to grow in this area, whatever it is. Please help me to do that by sticking with Jesus, by knowing more of him, by growing in the ways that he wants me to grow. Please help me to do those things as I read your words and as I pray and as I meet with your people. That would be a great prayer to pray. We grow, we continue in the Christian faith as we stick with Jesus, going further into all that he is and all that he has done for us. Paul says, we grow by sticking with Jesus, and we grow by not being kidnapped either. Paul says, stick with Jesus. Don't be kidnapped. You see, down in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captives. No one kidnaps you through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. We'll think more of that next week when David comes to preach from verses later in chapter 2. Paul is simply saying, stick with Jesus. Don't be taken in by teaching that seems to add something onto Jesus. For the Colossians, that was rituals, that was human traditions and rules. It was particular experiences. Think more about that next week. Paul says, stick with Jesus. Don't be kidnapped, because in Christ you have all you need. Stick with Christ, because in Christ you have all you need. That's what Paul unpacks for us in the remaining verses. Let me read verse 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Paul is saying, Christ is fully God. He is all you could ever want to know or need to know of God. And all that we need from God is found in Christ. And you, Colossians, you Christians of St. Simon's, have been given fullness in Christ. He is all you need for your day-to-day Christian living and experience. Let me pick out three ways in which Christians have all that we need in Christ. First, in Christ we have all we need because we have new life. We have all we need in Christ because we have new life. That is what Paul is saying in verses 11 to 12. Now, we look at those verses and they're a little complicated, so let me try and summarise. Paul is speaking about the Christian's union with Christ, that you and I spiritually are united with Christ. You see how he says in verse 11, in him. The fact that we are united spiritually to Jesus. He is in us and we are in him. We are united together with Jesus spiritually. So Paul goes on that when Christ died, we were counted as having died. And when Christ was raised, we were counted as being raised to new life with Christ. That's what he says in verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That is what baptism symbolizes. The going under the water, death to old life, rising to new life. And Paul is saying you are united with Jesus. So that is when that happened to Jesus, that happened to you spiritually. And that means that we have this new life and where sin's power is now broken. That's what he's getting at with this language of circumcision and the putting off of the sinful nature in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. You see, our sinful nature that dominated us and held us captive, when we died with Christ, it was put off. Circumcision in the Old Testament is a mark, isn't it, of being a member of God's people. But they knew even then that they needed their hearts circumcising. So Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 16, circumcise your hearts therefore and do not be stiff-necked any longer. They needed a change of heart. They needed their sinful nature that stopped them living God's way to be got out, to be broken, to be cut off. And so Paul is saying, when you were brought to new life with Christ, your old sinful nature that dominated and held you captive, well, that was cut off. Now, Paul is not saying that we don't sin. What he's saying is that the power of sin has been broken. The power of sin, when we rose to new life with Christ, has been broken. We don't need to obey sin any longer. If this helps, think of a prisoner who has been manacled together, chained with the hands, chained around his feet, chained to a great big rock. And he's been like that for years and years, so he can only move in particular ways with the chain. Well, now imagine that the chains are cut. He's still got them on his hands, but the chain has been cut. The chain to the rock has been cut. He's now free to move in a new way. He's no longer chained. He no longer has to give in to sin. He might still, out of habit, kind of move in the way that he's been chained up, but he no longer has to. He still drags around the manacles of sin, but he is not constrained by sin any longer. Does that make sense? Paul is saying, when you rose to new life in Christ, your sinful nature was subdued, it was broken. You don't need to give in to sin its power has been broken in your life if you are united with Jesus. You've been set free. You can change. You can live by the Spirit's power differently. We have new life with Christ. Second, we have complete forgiveness with Christ. Let me read, I noticed Gina read from the New NIV. Let me read from the New NIV, because actually it's a better translation. The end of verse 13, Paul says, "He forgave us, God, all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." Paul says, legal indebtedness. It is like there is a great charge sheet for each one of us, a great IOU note before God. And on it is listed every sin that you and I have ever committed. Everything we've thought, everything we've said, everything we've done, everything that we should have done. On it is that big sin. On it is all those little repeated sins. All the times we've failed to live God's way in His world. And it stands against us. It demands payment. And it says that we're guilty and that the payment is death. But what has God done through Christ? He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. He's taken it away. That IOU note that should condemn us, He's taken it away. It has been paid for. The price has been paid through Jesus' death. Hear the hammer as Jesus is nailed to the cross, nailing not just His hands and His feet, but your list of sins as well. So do you see that small but life-changing word in verse 13? He forgave us all our sins. All our sins. Not some, but all. No sin is too persistent. No sin is too dark. No sin is too horrendous to be forgiven. There is complete forgiveness with Christ. Listen to how the wonderful hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," puts it. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. You have complete forgiveness. So rest in Christ and His finished work. Don't need to throw yourselves into some form of ministry or work to prove yourself. You don't need to binge watch a TV series or comfort eat or seek some other activity in other words as a way to deaden your conscience. You just need to rest in Christ and His finished work. You have complete forgiveness. We have all we need in Christ. We have new life, complete forgiveness, and then finally we have victory over evil. Verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, that is the forces of evil, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, Satan and his forces are real. But, says Paul, they hold no fear for the Christian because of Jesus' death at Calvary. By paying the price for our forgiveness, that IOU note paid, Men and women, boys and girls, held captive by Satan, can be rescued from his dominion and brought into the kingdom of Christ. Satan and his forces have no hold over the Christian, and his chief weapon, the accusation of guilt before God, well, that has been disarmed because we are no longer guilty through Christ. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Paul's using the image of a Roman triumph. After a successful military campaign, a Roman general might be awarded a triumph, a procession through the streets of Rome with his victorious soldiers, where all could offer adulation and praise, and where the captured prisoners would trail at the back, chained and bedraggled, clear to all that they are a defeated power. Well, God says that's what happened to Satan at the cross. Evil is defeated. Nothing to fear for the Christian safe with Christ. Nothing to be accused of by Satan for the Christian safe with Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. That is the power of Christ in me. Stick with Jesus because you have all you need in him. New life, complete forgiveness, victory over evil. Stick with Jesus. Go deeper in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thank and praise for all that we have in Christ. Thank you that we need look nowhere else. Thank you that we are found safe and secure with Christ. Thank you that we have new life, the power of sin broken. Thank you that we have complete forgiveness with Christ. Thank you that we have victory over evil. So please help us to go further on and further in to Christ and all that he has done. Help us to remain with him and to stick with him. In Jesus' name, amen.